Well, we're looking forward to a big concert coming up in the Lehigh Valley. The Bach Choir of Bethlehem, for their spring concert, will be presenting on Saturday, March 9th, and Sunday, March 10th, as well as a concert out of the area on Wednesday, March 13th. They'll be performing Mendelssohn's Elijah. The program on Saturday will be at Millersville University, and on Sunday, March 10th, here in the Lehigh Valley at 4 p.m. at First Presbyterian Church of Bethlehem. It is Mendelssohn's choral masterpiece. It is a fiery oratorio that recounts the story of the biblical prophet with a tremendous, vast, and intense drama. It premiered in London in 1846, and the Times of London at that time reported, "Never was there a more complete triumph, never a more thorough and speedy recognition of a great work of art." Today, joining us in the studio is a good friend of WDIY from the Bach Choir of Bethlehem, David Roof. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Wally. Great to be here.
Glad you're back. How are things? You're coming off of a wonderful family concert just a few weeks ago. The back in January, the Bach Choir had their family concert. That was a great success.
Right. It went really well. Each year we have a theme for our individual family concerts, and this year the theme was young composers. And so we had our second competition for young composers, and the winners were a high school freshman and two college students. So they had their works premiered by the Bach Choir. Two of those works were for a cappella choir, and then the third one by the ninth grader was actually sort of a neo-Handelian Baroque piece for orchestra and choir, which we concluded the concert with. Was really, really wonderful.
All right. The Bach Choir of Bethlehem, under the direction of Greg Fumfgeld, and he's been at the helm for, this is his anniversary year, isn't it?
30 years this year.
30 years this year. And there was a big special presentation on that day. The book was published.
Right. We had the release, and we had a little release party for a really wonderful volume that sort of charts his history with the choir. In photography and with quotes from friends of the choir from all around the world and from various walks of life. The book is entitled Dear Mr. Fumfgeld, and it's on sale now, and all the proceeds will benefit our award-winning educational outreach programs. But the genesis for the project came every time we do Bach to School, which we actually have some performances coming next week. The members of the choir and members of the orchestra go into schools and sing an hour-long program for the students with lots of explanation, and it's sort of like their first experience of the choral orchestral repertoire for most of them. And each time afterwards, a flurry of letters will come into the office, "Dear Mr. Fumfgeld, I thought Bach was really cool," or "Dear Mr. Fumfgeld, I was lifted up by angels when you say," you know, that sort of thing. And so Bridget, our executive director, Bridget George, had the wonderful idea of sort of compiling these letters and correspondence to the choir and commentary about the choir, as I said, for people of all walks of life. So we actually have an introduction by Christoph Wolff, who is a university professor at Harvard and is probably the preeminent Bach scholar in the world right now, down to a couple fourth graders from Brachel Middle School. So the book is filled with really beautiful, beautiful photography, and our graphic designer Ann Schauer did just a marvelous job working in collaboration with Bridget in designing the book. It's really like a wonderful keepsake.
Great. More information, I assume, is at the website,
bach.org. Right.
That is the I Ching of all things Bach, right?
It's right.
Everything you need to know is there. I should introduce you to our listeners. David Roof is a member of the board for the Bach Choir of Bethlehem. He also blogs at...
You can go from bach.org to my blog.
Okay. Yeah. And is involved in what is it? What's your official... Do you have an official title?
No, I don't have an official title. I just wear a lot of hats.
He wears a lot of hats. He does a lot of things. And he also sings in the Bach Choir.
Right. He's a baritone in the choir.
Very good. And so, well, Elijah, you know, I was thinking about Mendelssohn, you know, and it's the Bach Choir of Bethlehem, and you know, the Bach Choir sung a lot of Bach, but Mendelssohn is sort of the generation that follows. But if there was no Mendelssohn, I would almost want to say there'd be no Bach.
Right. Mendelssohn, Bach's music kind of faded to obscurity. I mean, the great composers between Bach and Mendelssohn were kind of aware of him, but he was sort of thought of as this sort of provincial genius from Leipzig who did not have the sort of cosmopolitan reach of Handel or Haydn. And so Mendelssohn revived in 1829 the St. Matthew Passion. And from that moment on, from Bach's death in 1750 to 1829, his music really did, it was a very niche-y sort of connoisseur's thing. Beethoven very, very much admired it. And it's also interesting when you hear composers before and after their first experience of Bach, like Mozart, for example. After he heard Bach, comes out the Mozart C minor mass eventually, and Bach's influence, especially in his writing of counterpoint, is very, very deep. Same thing with the Beethoven Missa Solemnis. So, but Mendelssohn was really, really vital in bringing Bach's music back to the public. I will add one little caveat to that, and that is, scholars have found, and this is kind of a fun local connection, scholars have found parts for Bach's Cantata 80, which is a setting of Ein feste Burg, or A Mighty Fortress is Our God, in the hand of the music director at Central Moravian from about 1823. So they think that that was Bach's music's first appearance in America in 1823, which was actually 6 years before Mendelssohn's revival of the St. Matthew Passion. Although, again, people knew of Bach, but he was just sort of in obscurity during that time.
Right. A tremendous man of faith, and maybe that was part of the Moravian connection and
sure.
the beautiful expression of the faith in his music and in his writing and his service in Leipzig, and that was the Thomaskirche. And an interesting thing, I read a little bit about Mendelssohn's family, and it actually was like Mendelssohn's grandmother or something had like a music salon mm-hmm. at her house. And so these, you know, she had some connection with Bach's offspring, you know, mm-hmm. and you could almost hear this little grandmother tugging on her grandson's, you know, sleeve and saying, hey, sonny, you got to listen to this.
Right, right,
you
right.
You know, and it's amazing how these personal connections then led to the great Bach revival. And so there is, as we hear the Bach choir perform Mendelssohn coming up next month, there is sort of that, I'm going to say, indebtedness to
Mendelssohn. Oh, we feel a great kinship with Mendelssohn's music. When we went on our tour to the UK in 2003, we did four of his motets unaccompanied. And he writes just so well for choirs. His music is really well-crafted. We did a setting of his Nunc Dimittis that was just really, really beautiful. And being able to sing them in these vast cathedrals in England was just such a treat. But Mendelssohn was deeply influenced by Bach and by Handel as well, and Haydn as well. So you hear this sort of interesting mix of, like in the overture to Elijah, for example, I really hear like the footprint of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, the first movement. It sort of has that sort of pathos to it. But the scale of Elijah, I think you can trace directly back to Haydn's Creation. But the sort of individual choral elements of Elijah, I think you can trace all the way back to Bach, too. I think it's also interesting to note that Mendelssohn was born in 1809. And so when he mounted that giant production of the St. Matthew Passion, he was 20 years old.
Yeah. At my age, it takes my breath away. Again, wasn't he like 38 when he died?
Right. So, he died a year after he completed Elijah.
Yeah, that's an amazing amount of just production of music and these gifts that are expressed so young, so early, and so briefly.
Right,
so,
right.
All right, why don't we listen, and then we can talk a little bit more. What would be a good way to whet the
appetite? I'd like us to start with the opening of the piece, and it starts with a recitative for the baritone soloist, and we have such an amazing baritone soloist for this performance. He's a gentleman named Deshaun Burton. He was the winner of our Young Singers competition, I think, last year, but sings at Trinity Wall Street in New York and has a very active concertizing career, but just a huge, warm, wonderful voice. And he's going to be a star, absolutely. He's already on his way, but we're really excited to have him singing the role of Elijah. And the piece begins with a recit that's very sort of stark. And we join the narrative as the people of Israel are experiencing this terrible drought. And so the baritone soloist sings, and as God the Lord of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And that's followed, this is just a very stark recitative with brass instruments. And then that's followed by the overture, which I, as I said before, is just full of pathos. And it builds to this huge climax as the choir re-enters and sings, "Help, Lord, wilt thou quite destroy us? The harvest now is over, the summer days are gone, and yet no power cometh to help us. When will the Lord be no more God in Zion?" And it's very, very, very dark. But it's also exceedingly powerful. The orchestra is going to be, our usual sort of Baroque chamber orchestra is going to be augmented with a great number of brass instruments, four French horns, three trombones, a tuba, some clarinets. It's just going to be a really, really sort of impactful moment. So I think we should listen to the first four tracks of this now.
All right. This is a brand new recording. In fact, the ink almost still feels damp.
Right.
This is a 2012 recording of Mendelssohn's Elijah, composed in 1846, performed by the Rocklaw Philharmonic Choir. Is that the right?
I think that's how. I have no idea how to pronounce it, actually. Yeah.
There's a funny little line there that I don't know. Along with the Rocklaw Philharmonic Choir, the Gabrielli Young Singers Scheme, and the Gabrielli Consort and Players, all under the direction of Paul McCreesh. It features Rosemary Joshua, soprano, Sarah Connolly, mezzo-soprano, Robert Murray, a tenor, and Simon Keenly Side is the baritone. It's a wonderful brand new recording, and we're going to hear as God the Lord of Israel liveth, and then the overture and the chorus, "Help, Lord," and a duet, "Lord, bow thine ear to our prayer." Paul McCreesh and the Gabrielli Consort and Players, right here on WDIY Classics. Lord, bow thine ear to our prayer. And before that, the chorus, Help, Lord. Those are part of the introduction. And then before that, the overture to Felix Mendelssohn's Elijah, composed in 1846. That's a brand new recording. Paul McCreesh conducting the Gabrielli Consort and players along with the Rocklau Philharmonic Choir. And just a top-notch group of musicians and singers. That piece of music will be performed by the Bach Choir of Bethlehem coming up in a couple of weeks, Saturday, March 9th, 2013, at Millersville University, Sunday, March 10th, 2013, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon at First Presbyterian Church of Bethlehem, and then going to take the show on the road to Washington, D.C., the Music Center at the Strathmore, on Wednesday, March 13th. The Bach Choir of Bethlehem is the oldest Bach choir in America. They've been a choir for over 110 years. They're based right here in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. They've toured internationally. They've performed at the Royal Albert Hall, the Thomaskirche in Leipzig, and all over the Kennedy Center. They've recorded with the BBC Proms, and they have a number of recordings out, earlier recordings on the Dorian label, and most recently a collection on the Analecta label, including one called Songs of Hope, their most recent one, featuring music of Bach, Britten, Bernstein, and Stephen Paulus's A Dream of Time. More information about the Bach Choir of Bethlehem is available at their website, bach.org, or you can call their office, 610-866-4382, for more information about those upcoming spring concerts. A beautiful, beautiful piece of music, very powerful. With me in the studio is David Roof, a member of the Bach Choir, a blogger. He blogs at bach.org about the Bach Choir. And that was powerful, David. It was awesome.
It's very powerful music. The German, well, it's hard to really say that Mendelssohn was German Romantic, because I think you could almost argue that he was also Victorian English in a sense. And he has like a dual lineage musically speaking. But it's a very, very powerful orchestra. And like I said, the brass is supplemented with four French horns and trombones. And the impact of it, I think, for our concerts is going to be really great. If it sounded good on your speakers on the radio, imagine what it'll sound like with, you know, 135 singers and a large 50-piece orchestra, and with the large organ at First Pres Bethlehem behind us as well. It's sort of interesting. We were talking about the book Dear Mr. Fumfgeld, and one of our favorite recent Out of the Mouths of Babes remark about hearing the Bach Choir was, I think it was like a third or fourth grader from Brockle. They had come to hear us sing at Bach at noon, as often school students do. Teachers will bring their classes. And the little guy said to his teacher, which she then shared with Greg, it sounded so real. And at first we kind of scratched our heads like, what exactly did he mean by that? But I think in an age where everything that you hear musically on the radio, unless you listen to WDIY, is like compressed and auto-tuned and produced and engineered with an inch of its life.
We're nothing if we're not real.
Right. Absolutely. But I mean, the idea of going to a concert and hearing, you know, like 100 of your neighbors from your community tackle at, I think, a very, very high level, one of the great masterworks of the 19th century is something you can't experience in your home listening to your stereo. It's something you can't experience on your iPod. As much as I love doing both of those things, listening to music at home and, you know, out and about with my my iPod, there's something to be said for live performance, and especially something to be said for a live performance of a piece that requires these kinds of resources. With this big orchestra and a big choir. And it's going to be really, really exciting. Wally said to me, you sort of took my breath away or gave me a chill. And that's absolutely true. That's what's going to happen if you come to this concert.
Yeah, absolutely. What I was thinking about, just like the character of Elijah, he's this huge, Old Testament prophet. And this oratorio basically is the story of sort of highlights of his life. You know, there's
right.
the the libretto is based on scenes and events from 1st and 2nd Kings in the Hebrew Bible in the
right.
Old Testament. And you know, he wasn't one of these like little guys who didn't really do much, you know, sort of a quiet character. He's the guy who got up there, the front line, rolled up his sleeves, you know, and engaged the prophets of Baal, you know.
Right.
These are huge events. And he was a very dramatic character. And so when Mendelssohn writes this piece, he writes it huge, you know.
Absolutely.
It's a major event here.
The next thing we're going to listen to is that confrontation with the priests of Baal. And it's very interesting. The choir takes on several roles in the length of this oratorio. At times were the people, at times were certain characters, like in this particular instance, the priests of Baal. And so there's the scene where there's a sort of idol worship of Baal. Baal, we cry to thee, hear and answer us. And then Elijah taunts the priests of Baal and says, call him louder. And so the priests of Baal do, in fact, call him louder. And it gets to this really, really great moment where, again, Elijah is taunting them. And the choir then sort of takes over that role and says to Baal, or their imagined Baal, hear and answer, Baal, mark how the scorner derideth us. And the scorner, of course, in this instance, is Elijah himself. And they sort of declaim, hear and answer. And then Mendelssohn puts two bars of rest. Nothing happens in those two bars. And so then even more sort of desperately, there's this big minor chord. And again, the choir sings, hear and answer. And again, two bars of rest. And it's just Mendelssohn being kind of witty and tongue-in-cheek at the same time, projecting the huge arc of this narrative in a very compelling way.
It's like Mendelssohn's preaching, you know.
Right.
He is interpreting the text. You know, he's
oh, exactly.
making it, talk about making it real. All right. Well, we're going to listen to a little bit of that then. This is from the brand new recording of Mendelssohn's Elijah, Paul McCreesh, the Gabrielli Concert and Players, right here on WDIY.
Thank you. pursuing. Oh, he's on a journey. Oh, peradventure he sleepeth. So awaken him, call him louder, call him louder.
Hear thy voice, Father, O Lord,
cut yourselves after your manner. Leap upon the altar he hath made. Call him and prophesy. Not a voice will answer you. None will listen.
That's the music of Felix Mendelssohn right here on WDIY Classics from his 1846 Elijah. A brand new recording. That's Paul McCreesh conducting the Gabrielli Concert and Players. Also in that recording, the Wroclaw Philharmonic Choir and the Gabrielli Young Singers Scheme. It's 10:45 in the Lehigh Valley, about 15 minutes left in the second hour of our WDIY Classics programming. It's a very, very powerful piece of music, and it's going to be performed by the Bach Choir of Bethlehem under the direction of Greg Fumfgeld, Saturday, March 9th, 2013, 3 o'clock at Millersville University, Sunday, March 10th at 4 p.m., at First Presbyterian Church of Bethlehem, the pre-concert lecture by Greg Fumfgeld at 3 o'clock, and then on the road to Washington, D.C., down at the Music Center at Strathmore, Wednesday, the 13th of March, 8 o'clock. More information is at their website, bach.org, or you can call 610-866-4382 to learn more about this fabulous program. With me in the studio this morning is David Roof, a member of the Bach Choir. He blogs at bach.org and serves also on the board, I believe, of the Bach Choir of Bethlehem. And we welcome you back, David. That's intense, an intense conversation going on there. You know, I was thinking, and this is an oratorio, and right. I don't want to be too simplistic, but I'm, you know, in my non-musical self, an oratorio essentially is an opera that's not staged. It's basically the music that's performed just singing as opposed to
right.
with theater backdrop and all that. And I was thinking, you could make this into an opera.
Oh, you could.
it would be great.
Oh, it would. And, you know, some people have staged to varying degrees of success, other oratorios. And most recently, the Berlin Philharmonic under Simon Rattle collaborated with the director Peter Sellars, who also directed many of John Adams' operas, but just a really amazing guy. The St. Matthew Passion of Bach. And it's not really staged with props and costumes so much, but there was definitely like a sense of movement and a design to the stage. And what I think is really interesting about the really great oratorios like the Bach Passions or some of the Handel oratorios or Elijah for that matter, is that the text painting, the imagery that's conjured up in the music and in the text itself, engages the imagination of the listener in such a deep way.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe I don't need it staged because I was just seeing it play out in my head. Yeah,
That's something that is the mark of a really great composer. And when I was last here, we were talking about Britten's Cantata St. Nicholas, which also has that sort of effect of being so engaging to your imagination that you can visualize the action and everything that's happening in front of you. And that's certainly the case with Elijah. It had a really overwhelming critical response and basically was the sort of masterpiece oratorio of the 19th century, at least in terms of the music written in its time. But it did have its detractors. George Bernard Shaw had sort of a very catty remark about how Mendelssohn has exquisite prettiness. And then Walt Whitman also said that it maybe wouldn't reach audiences well because it's too scientific. And I disagree with both of those gentlemen, but I think both of them were sort of predisposed to disliking it in the first place. But what it's so vivid and so photorealistic, I think. And that's something that we're working very, very hard on capturing and making the text declamation in our diction as visceral as possible so that people really, really experience not just a pretty piece of music, but are stirred. I think it was Handel who said someone told him that he thought that Messiah was greatly entertaining, and Handel's reply was, "Well, I didn't hope to entertain people, but to make them better." And you know, that's sort of a tall order, but we definitely want maybe not to make people better, but to experience the deep richness of this story, and also the sheer power of the music.
Yeah, there's a tangent. We could go on so much of, you're a church musician.
Right, right.
And so much of that today is let me entertain you. And people have asked me that too. Do you think, worship should be entertaining? And I said, well, no, not entertaining, but it should be engaging,
Right. Oh,
it
absolutely.
It should grab you and take a hold of you, even as this music does. Tell me just quickly before we go back to the piece, just tell me a little bit about the tour. You know, you're singing in Milledgeville. Have you done that before?
We sang with them, was it like 6 or 7 years ago? I'm not sure exactly how long ago it was, but we did a B minor with them cooperatively. They have a select ensemble called the Keystone Singers, and we did the Bach Mass in B minor with them there.
Now, when you go to Millersville, it'll be the Bach Choir of Bethlehem plus their chorus, correct?
Right.
When you come back to Bethlehem,
in Bethlehem, and they're joining us in Strathmore, too.
So all of you. So how many singers in total?
It'll be 135, I think.
Just small collection. Okay, logistically, I just sort of think. Do you guys all drive separate? Do you guys get buses? How do you do this?
Oh, we'll go out on buses, and then they'll come in on a bus, and then same thing with DC. We'll all travel together on buses.
Great.
It's a great experience. We call them runouts, and it sort of builds a greater sense of esprit de corps amongst the choir itself. And already we got an email asking if any of us would be interested in going to the cafe and bar at the hotel in Washington after our performance on Wednesday night. And I'm sure the answer is going to be unanimous. And
what do you mean? Food? Drink? No. Not you,
but,
David.
This is going to be a long, long journey. The oratorio itself is a good 2 hours long, and it's very demanding. So our rehearsals the way that Greg has paced our rehearsals is in part meant to help us build up our stamina to sing these pieces, because, like I said, it's very long and it's vocally very demanding. But it's such a joy to sing that you don't mind, but you do have to be careful.
Yeah, it'll be a workout. Well, wonderful. Couple more minutes. We're about out of time. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we'll have our classical calendar. From 11 to 12 is our Friday film scores. We're going to look at some Oscar-nominated music, music of Thomas Newman, Alexandre Desplat, Dario Marianelli, Michael Dana, the Canadian composer, and also John Williams. That's from 11 to 12. To get us up to there, let's talk just a little bit more about Elijah, and we'll go out with one last piece.
Sure. The whole first half, the Israelites are experiencing dry and arid land as a punishment for their idolatry of Baal. And Elijah turns them around during the course of this. And the first half before an intermission concludes with a long recite that I didn't think we should listen to. I think we should just listen to the final chorus. But they come to start praying to God, and then miraculously clouds sort of start appearing on the horizon. And then they finally get the rain for which they had been praying and pining for so long. And then there's a sort of chorus of thanks. The text is, thanks be to God, he laveth the thirsty land. The waters gather, they rush along, they are lifting their voices. The stormy billows are high, their fury is mighty. But the Lord is above them and almighty. And when we were talking about text painting and the sort of photorealism of Mendelssohn's music, this again is an example of the waters rushing along. You will definitely get that sense of sudden, you know, storm clouds opening, but also like this great sense of joy that finally, after, you know, such a long arid time, here comes the water and the rain. So it's a really thrilling moment in the oratorio.
Yeah. If he laveth the thirsty land isn't enough of an image.
Yes.
The music will just carry you along.
Absolutely.
Again, for our listeners, we are talking with David Roof from the Bach Choir of Bethlehem about their spring concerts coming up Saturday, March 9th at Millersville University, Sunday, March 10th at First Presbyterian Church of Bethlehem, and Wednesday, March 13th at the Music Center at Strathmore in Washington. They'll be singing Mendelssohn's choral masterpiece, Elijah, under the direction of Greg Fumfgeld. Elijah, a fiery oratorio that recounts the story of the biblical prophet with vast and intense drama. It's a blockbuster in choral music, and we're so excited to hear it, David. Thank you for coming by today.
Oh, my pleasure. It's been a delight as always.
All right. We're going to go out with this brand new recording of Mendelssohn's Elijah. If you enjoyed this music, you can click on our website, wdiy.org, click on WDIY Classics, and there's a little tag there for all the music, the playlist that you heard. You can find this recording on that playlist. You can even buy it from there if you so enjoyed it. This is Mendelssohn's Elijah, composed in 1846 under the direction of Paul McCreech, the Gabrielli Consort and Players, the Gabrielli Young Singers Scheme, and the Rocklauf Philharmonic Choir, along with just a wonderful group of singers and musicians presenting this piece of music. We're going to hear the final chorus, Thanks Be to God, the music of Felix Mendelssohn for a Friday morning on WDIY Classics. That's the music of Felix Mendelssohn for a Friday morning right here on WDIY Classics. If you enjoyed that piece of music, you'll want to hear it performed live here in Bethlehem at First Presbyterian Church by the Bach Choir of Bethlehem. More information is at their website, bach.org, or you can call their box office for more information, 610-866-4382. The concert is Sunday, March 10th at 4 o'clock. The time now is 10:59 in the Lehigh Valley. You're tuned to WDIY Classics. We're listener-supported community public radio, 88.1 FM Allentown in Bethlehem, 93.9 FM Easton in Phillipsburg, 93.7 FM Fogelsville in Trexlertown. We also stream live on the World Wide Web at wdiy.org. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis.